we still haven't seen the full text of the annual defense authorization bill the Senate Armed Services Committee approved last week. But when it is released, it's expected to include another round of reforms to defense acquisition, including several that are focused on the way DOD buys software and other parts of information technology. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about what we know so far about the bill in this week's edition of Inside the DOD Reporter's Notebook. And Jared joins me now. What exactly do we know, Jared?
Well, the Senate committee, as our colleague Scott Massioni reported last week, marked up its bill completely in secret, including all the subcommittee hearings for the first time I can remember. So we actually know very few of the nitty-gritty details at this point, aside from what the committee has put out there in a 10-page executive summary and what Senate staffers have told us on background. But this bill does seem to be what I would characterize as a crackdown on underperforming programs that are, as you said, software-based or that depend heavily on software. Some major cuts here. The biggest one is to the Army's WIN-T program, the Warfighter Information Network Tactical, which we've covered a lot over the years. It's basically the foundation of what the Army calls its tactical network, big family of satellite and airborne and land-based communication systems for forward-deployed troops. The Army spent $6 billion on that program so far. They had requested more than $400 million in this year alone, and the Senate Armed Services Committee's NDAA completely wipes out any funding for that program for 2018, which is pretty shocking. They say they've got some pretty good reasons for that, one of which is that General Mark Milley, the Army Chief of Staff, has already testified that he's conducting an in-depth review of all of the Army's tactical networking systems over several concerns that he has. One is cybersecurity, and that may not be the exact right term for it. He's concerned about protecting communications that move over the Army's tactical network, and also just its functionality, whether it can effectively communicate over line-of-sight type waveforms when you're in the sorts of environments that he envisions being the future of warfare for the Army, which are in these sort of denser urban environments.
It sounds like he's getting information from channels that may not be the official WIN-T channels that are alerting him to some of these potential problems.
So that's absolutely right. And one of those channels that we know of is a report that Congress initially commissioned 2 years ago. They asked an FFRDC, a federally funded research and development commission, to go and do an in-depth review on WIN-T and other systems. Apparently, the results from that review are now back, although they are not public. We have not seen them yet. But the Senate has seen a draft of it, as has Milley, and that's partly what's informed his views on this system so far. So that's WIN-T, but it's not just WIN-T that they're cutting. They're making some other big cuts to particularly Army networking programs. $150 million cut to the Distributed Common Ground System, often known as DSIGS-A. Another $200 million cut out of the Integrated Air and Missile Defense Battle Command System. And what Senate staffers say is that, you know, it's not just these systems. They see these problems. They see problems within these systems as emblematic of everything that DOD does in general when it buys software. So aside from just penalizing programs that they view as not working, as taking too long, as doing a bad job of software development, they're trying to come up with some remedies too, they say. We have very few details on what those remedies are actually going to look like. But what they're telling us is that it's the same issue that we've talked about a million times before, Tom, which is that DOD tends to use processes that were designed for developing major weapon systems when it's developing software, even though there are procedures in DOD's acquisition regulations and instructions to do the sorts of agile development that you would see commonly in commercial industry. Those procedures just aren't used. So there's apparently going to be several provisions in the Senate's version of the NDAA that try to get after that, to try to get after that problem and work with DOD on what it's trying to do on that front. We talked a few weeks ago about an internal effort that's being led by James McStravick, who's performing the duties of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. And he's already started revamping some of DOD's internal guidance on developing software. He already put a new instruction out there on business systems, basically saying not to do what I just said, which is, you know, use procedures that were developed for weapon systems for software and try and come up with a more iterative, sure, agile development process.
I guess the question for something like WIN-T is, what are they doing in place of it and these other communication systems? And at what point does something get so well developed after $6 billion, can they no longer abandon it? Or is this prelude to getting rid of the whole thing and just sinking the $6 billion?
I think you've put your finger on a major, major question, and we just don't know the answer to that yet. I mean, whatever happens with General Milley's review, obviously, will help inform that. But this is a system that is already fielded to a very large degree, both its first and second increments. And there's a bit of a conflict in Congress over this. The House's appropriations language this year would actually add funding so that the increment two of WIN-T could be fielded to an additional two brigades. And the logic behind that is there are members of both the House and the Senate who are saying, okay, look, we've spent a lot of money on this system, and the Army's current deployment schedule is going to take many more years before the system is even fielded to all of, the full set of kit is actually fielded to all of the brigades that the Army plans to field it to, at which point the underlying technology is going to be more irrelevant than it perhaps already is. So you've got that conflict perhaps brewing as these two versions of the NDAA go to conference later this year.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and you're also reporting that there might be some changes to benefits to military spouses, family members, and so forth in the medical area.
This is another issue that's brewing that's going to have to be addressed when this bill goes to conference committee. So what we're talking about is the Special Survivor Indemnity Allowance, which is sort of a patch that Congress put in place back in 2008 to take care of a gap between two other programs that take care of military widows and widowers. Right now, it pays about $310 a month to 63,000, little more than 63,000 Americans whose spouses died either in the line of duty or during retirement after they bought into DOD's survivor benefits plan. That fund is going to completely run out next May. There's no plan right now to replenish it, to renew it, and so that funding would be completely cut off under current law. It sets up a challenge for both committees right now because it's considered mandatory spending under congressional budget rules. And in order to add funding to that program, they've got to take it out of some other part of DOD pay and benefits. And there's not that many places within these two committees' jurisdiction where they can go. So what's being talked about right now is to increase pharmacy copays on military retirees and family members. The House version, which actually has not even been amended into the bill yet, but the proposal that's out there would increase those pharmacy copays by about $4 per month over the next 9 years or so. So that money would be used to about double that SSIA allowance for those 63,000 folks. Senate committee, again, we don't know what they did yet, but there is language apparently in the bill that would do apparently the same thing and make that long-term allowance, make that allowance permanent rather than having Congress have to keep going back and through sort of an annual patchwork that they've been doing, adding money back into the program and trying to scrape together enough year by year, which creates some obvious uncertainty in that program.
And how far does the Senate, for again, what you know about it, differ from the House version, which we know much more about?
House version doesn't address it at all, and the reason for that is Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry has urged his members not to try and address this issue or any other mandatory spending issues at this point, because the Budget Committee, which, remember, the House nor the Senate has passed a budget resolution yet, he's expecting that the Budget Committee is going to go back to the House Armed Services Committee and every other single committee in the House with some other demands on ways that they need to cut mandatory spending. That's going to be particularly important this year because both chambers of Congress are going to use the reconciliation process, which depends on having a budget resolution, to try and do deficit reduction and to pass two major pieces of legislation, both on health care and on tax reform. So they're going to have some significant demands on the mandatory spending side for all the committees. And Thornberry's argument is, let's not start cracking open individual cans of worms until we see a full budget resolution, see what the full demands on the mandatory spending side are going to be on the Armed Services
Committee. So the differences are more perhaps procedural, really, than philosophical, so far as we can tell.
I think that's right, and it almost does not matter that much. So, again, the Senate has language in its bill already, so they can go to conference on that when we do get to the point where both that full House and the full Senate have passed their versions of the National Defense Authorization Act. Now that language is in the Senate version, the House could theoretically adopt it or amend it to fit whatever those budget constraints on the mandatory spending side are going to be, depending on where we are on health care reform and on tax reform by that point. This usually happens around the December timeframe, so we should have a pretty good idea of what the other demands on the part of congressional leadership are going to be.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, as always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out his notebook now posted at federalnewsradio.com.